Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, pull over your car if you have to. Set down your cup of coffee if you need to. I don't want you, wrecking into the ditch. I don't want you spilling your cup of coffee in your lap or unless you're Kramer from Seinfeld and you want to file a lawsuit or something like that, then maybe you want to spill the coffee in your lap. But, I'm going to do something that might shock some of you out there. I'm actually going to praise the Missoula City Council. I got to be honest. I am surprised. This was some good news to receive here this morning. Because when I first saw what took place after the municipal elections here in November, I thought, "Are you kidding me? In fact, I was going to go on a rant one of these days, and I was going to call out some of our friends in Missoula and say, I know there's at least one of you out there. I know there's at least one of you in Missoula that's listening to this show right now. And you didn't even vote in the city council elections. Come on, you can tell me. Yeah, I'll bet you there's one of you that you live in Ward 6 for the Missoula, city council elections, and you didn't vote. And you're mad at yourself for not voting. You know, you always vote in the presidential elections. You always vote in the congressional elections. And, but then city council elections, school board elections come around at different times of year, different years. And it's so easy to forget. So the Missoula City Council election, Missoula, even though they have a left-wing mob that basically controls in a big majority the Missoula City Council, they've had some great city council members in recent years. I mean, Jesse Ramos, who now heads up Americans for Prosperity Montana, he was one of the lone conservative / libertarian voices on the Missoula City Council, or common sense folks that questioned all of these property tax hikes, that questioned the promotion of the transient programs in Missoula. You had Adam Hertz, who in similar fashion was a common sense guy on the Missoula City Council. Well, now they've got Sandy Vasica. Even though she's a Bozeman Bobcat, she got elected to the Missoula City Council because she just has so much common sense. So she got elected to the Missoula City Council. Well, she was up for re-election back in November. And initially, according to the initial election results, she lost by 6 votes. So I was going to go on a rant. I'll bet there were 6 of you that didn't vote in Ward 6. Well, they did a recount, and surprise, surprise, election results are not always accurate. It was a tie, a straight-up tie, 50-50 split in that Missoula City Council race. And so then I'm thinking, oh, great, here we go. So since it was a tie race, the Missoula City Council majority gets to decide who the winner will be, who will take over the seat. They're going to give it to the more left-wing guy. They didn't. They voted after a long, lengthy process. We've got the story on our Montana Talks website, thanks to Peter Christian. They selected Sandy Vasica. Anyway, I think she's going to call in right after this, and then we've got the phone lines open for you.
About the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let's start the day with some, start the show here with some good news for you here. I got to admit, I was shocked. I was surprised because when I saw the news that this Missoula City Council race had ended up in a tie after the recount, and that the Missoula City Council was going to be selecting the winner, since it came down to a tie, I thought, no way do they allow Sandra Vasica to stay on the city council, because she's like the lone common sense conservative on, one of the only ones on the Missoula City Council right now. And so she's standing up to the property tax hikes. She's standing up to, the transient crisis that has been engulfing the city. In fact, Sandra Vasica, the last time we had you on the program, you were sharing just some of the shocking details at just how bad the transient crisis has gotten in Missoula. I mean, you were telling us how, you know, transients are defecating in the water fountains in the city parks. And so here's these Missoulians who pay all these taxes to enjoy city parks, and they can't enjoy the city parks because of all the transients there. But anyway, Sandra Vasica, congratulations on, you know, after a lengthy process, being, selected to continue on the Missoula City Council.
Yeah, thank you. It was a very long, stressful process, and I'm still in shock about it. And, man, am I exhausted from all of that, but I'm glad it's over. And I don't get to do my regular 4-year term, but it's an additional 2 years that I can possibly have an impact on the Missoula insane property tax increases.
Yeah. Well, I do want to just praise the Missoula City Council majority for, you know, extending that olive branch to their fellow Missoulians and to keeping you on the city council, because, you know, they could have just said, nope, she's out, no dissenting voices allowed. You know, it's kind of like our show, even though the majority of our listeners, especially in eastern Montana, where, man, you got like Richland County went 82% for Donald Trump in the 2020 elections. You know, so most of the folks in eastern Montana are conservative, but we still appreciate those dissenting voices and those other opinions, and we want to hear their perspective. You know, like guys like Jared and Anaconda and some of our other listeners out there that have a different perspective. And so I'm glad that the Missoula City Council also understands the importance of having dissenting viewpoints at the table also.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And if everybody just agreed all the time, life would just be so boring. So I think it's really important to see things from another perspective. And I did not see this coming. When my husband and I found out that I was going to be appointed, we were counting up the number, all my colleagues, and seeing, you know, what the chances were. And I wasn't thinking I was going to win, but then I was like, okay, maybe at best it'll be a tie. And then you know how whenever you go into something, you kind of have a feeling of how the outcome's going to be? This is not the case. I had no idea. So when it was a tie, some people that I thought for sure would not vote for me did vote for me, and some people who I thought would vote for me did not vote for me. So it was just an incredibly stressful evening for me, and I was telling my colleagues, because it was put up out there that there was going to be a coin toss, and I talked with all my colleagues about that, and I said that I am very uncomfortable with that. I would way rather do what we were elected to do and say what we and vote out loud. That's what we were elected to do. It's going to be difficult. And I was saying that even though I knew that I didn't think that I had the majority of my colleagues. So I was saying that even though I thought I was going to be ousted. But I would prefer to be ousted by my colleagues than a coin. So I was really happy that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, be a man or woman enough to just say, nope, I'm going to vote for this person, and here's why, or why not. What do you think ultimately convinced the majority to vote to keep you on the city council? Was it, you know, the desire for dissenting voices, or is it just the fact that you know, maybe they kind of secretly agree with you on the crazy transient crisis and the crazy tax hikes that have been pushed in Missoula, but they just can't come out and openly say it out of fear of, you know, facing retribution from the left?
Well, I'm hoping that that's some of the reason, but that's not what was said out loud. Some people voted for me because there's a lot of polarization in America, and they wanted to, I guess, give a voice to the other side. Some people that quoted the Mason's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure, where when there is a tie, then it goes to what was already in place. So a tie fails, so it goes to what was already there, which would be the incumbent. And then some people, just because there's been so much change, with the mayor passing away, appointing a mayor, then electing a new mayor, some people just wanted to go with the experience. And after 4 years, I have a lot of institutional knowledge about how the procedures go down. So I think that was also a good reason for folks to vote for me.
Yeah, either way, I do just want to just praise them. It's not too often you'll see an olive branch extended from the other side.
You don't see that very often, and I extend them a lot. And so this was really nice and heartwarming to have one extended to me. It doesn't happen at all, really.
I'm sure you've been talking with some constituents in Missoula. I'm sure at least one person came up to you and said, Sandra, I hate to admit this, but I forgot to vote in the city council race. And it was a tie race.
Nobody has said that.
You know they're out there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. And during the recount, we found that 151 voters voted in the mayoral race but did not vote in the Ward 6 City Council race. So if one of those people would have voted, it would have broken the tie, and then the vote would have gone to the constituents instead of to the existing city council. So that just reminds everybody that your vote really does count.
No, and that's why I definitely wanted to have you call in. You know, I was planning on just having open phones for the full hour. And we do have the phone lines open, you know, coming up here after the break, where people can call in about anything they want to call in, so especially if they have a dissenting opinion that differs from ours. But I wanted to highlight the importance of every vote that matters, because here you go. Sandra Vasica ends up in a tie vote, one of the lone dissenting voices on the Missoula City Council. And you know there's at least one of you out there that lives in Ward 6 in Missoula that didn't vote and could have just outright won that race. I had a similar deal. I was gone for my military training 1 year, so I made sure to cast my absentee ballot. That school board race, we won by one vote. So what if I didn't vote because I was going to be gone? So anyway.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open right now, and we've got phone lines available for you. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. So phone lines are open today. Tomorrow, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Montana Stock Growers Convention. We'll be on the trade show floor downstairs. The convention's actually taking place here in our same location as our Montana Talk studios. We've got the top floor. They'll be down on the second and third floors for the big trade show and convention. And so, but we're going to head down because we want to go see everybody that's there for the convention and all our friends all across Montana. So always a good time. Kind of one of the highlights of the first week of December every year now. Before we get to your phone calls, though, I did want to go back to Sandra Vasica from the Missoula City Council, who, yeah, the vote just was announced here this week. She will remain on the Missoula City Council following that tie vote in the November elections. It was quite the process, but eventually she got a majority to support her remaining on the council. Sandra, this to me, this is important to remind people that every vote counts, and why it's important. But even more than that is the fact that every election counts. It always frustrates me that the city council elections in many cases and the school board elections in many cases are held at different times and are held at different years than the presidential elections and the congressional elections, governor, etc. Because, look, at the end of the day, if you live in Missoula, Montana right now, are the congressional elections important? Yes. But who is more likely to raise your taxes tomorrow, and in a big way? And Missoulians are facing some of the highest taxes in the entire state because of the city council and now the left-wing county commissioners. And so, but yet, how many people don't vote and ignore these city council elections, which are going to have the biggest impact on their bottom line?
Yeah, it's crazy because a lot of people think that, oh, my vote doesn't matter, or why even bother? It's not going to change anything. But, I mean, take my race. And 4 years ago, I won by 12 votes. So I don't know what's going on with Ward 6. It's the closest race out of all the wards. But it just goes to show that it's just very easy. It's the very minimum that you could do as an American to ensure that America does prosper. So even it's a secret ballot for a reason. So even if you disagree with your spouse, you can still vote the way that you want to. And every household, you don't just sit down and go through everyone. I know that all the city council races, the mayoral one, you know, they have their platform online. It's very easy to look up. And then the judges, those are kind of difficult to determine what their issues are. But you know, it's just so easy to just call around and just call up the people that are running. They would love to talk to you. It's a lot easier for you to call them than to knock on every single door. And, yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that. And I'm very happy that I kept my seat because I'm working on a sidewalk reform project to get the city to pay for sidewalks instead of property owners. So I didn't think I could finish that in a month. I'm really happy that I have at least two more years to get that all figured out.
There you go. I also got to kind of laugh because a bobcat was also now reelected basically to the Missoula City Council. Even you grew up in Missoula, you went to high school, graduated high school in Missoula, but you went to Montana State for college. So a bobcat remains on the Missoula City Council. But the Grizz fans,
yeah, that probably didn't help.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the election's over, so you're okay with us mentioning that.
I put it on my website. I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, I graduated from Sentinel. This is my hometown. And then I moved away so I could be in state but still close to my family so I can come home on the weekend.
Well, you know, and
so,
it's funny.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's even funny. Yeah, I mean, I was at my my niece's graduation from Big Sky High School in Missoula. And, yeah, a number of her classmates are going to Bozeman or out of state or whatever. But, yeah, it's, you know, a lot of kids want to go somewhere else for college. And I think one of the left-wing Gallatin County commissioners is a Grizz grad, is a UM grad. So you got Grizz grads being elected in Gallatin County, and you got Bobcats being elected in Missoula.
We're all Montanans, we're all Americans, and we all want each other to prosper. So I think that while it's a fun rivalry, property taxes and staying in your home is the most important.
That's right. And unfortunately, letting kids play sports became political too. And so let them play also is important. Yeah. Well, Sandra Vasica, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in, especially last minute. And congratulations again.
Well, thank you, and I'd be happy to be on anytime. You guys have a great day.
Hey, you too. Sounds good. And likewise, hey, even if we don't reach out to you, if you got something that's going on, you got something you want to talk about, just like any of our listeners right now across Montana can call in and talk on the show, hey, you give us a ring here too. That's why we oftentimes just leave the phone lines open, because really it's the phone calls from listeners all across Montana that really make the show. And you can do that right now, 406-294-0970. Let's see. Speaking of sports, there was something I said back on November 27th, and I can't even remember what it was, but we were talking about the importance of girls' sports and girls' sports opportunities. And I think it was probably something about the transgender debate and, you know, men taking away opportunities from women, boys taking away opportunities from girls, and how radical this left-wing transgender debate is. But anyway, like I said, I forget what we were exactly talking about on that day. But after the show, I had a great phone call, great message from one of our listeners in the Flathead Valley who said, hey, Aaron, you were talking about girls' sports today and the importance of that. Anyway, this guy links me up with the head coach for the Flathead High School girls flag football team. And then she links me up with the athletic director from Lockwood High School. They also started a high school girls flag football team. Last year, three teams started the pilot project. You had Flathead and Glacier in Kalispell, and then you had Butte. And then this year, Mission and Lockwood teamed up and fielded a high school girls flag football team as well. Anyway, apparently it has just been a life-changing experience for these young ladies, creating these new opportunities, just remarable. And so I was able to chat with both the athletic director or the activities director at Lockwood and the head coach for the Flathead girls flag football team. And I want to share that with our other listeners across the state here coming up in the days ahead at some point, because it was just an incredible conversation and so great to hear about these opportunities having a life-changing impact for these girls, for these young ladies here in Montana. And both Lockwood and Flathead, they are encouraging other high schools across the state to take advantage of this opportunity. And there's free money available vis-a-vis the Arthur Blank Foundation. They will fund your entire high school girls flag football team. So, like I said, it's an important conversation that I want to share with our friends from Glendive to Malta and so many other communities that have incredible female athletes that have risen up over the years. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's go to Greg in Missoula next up on the phone lines. Greg, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I was going to have a question for the council member for the city of Missoula, but I'll ask it now.
Oh, okay.
For several years, they have developed the Johnson Street shelter. Now, from what I understand, whenever anything is built, there's zoning requirements, occupancy, water, power, and sanitary systems tied to the city sewer as part of the construction. Well, recently, they want to spend $500,000, which is $500,000, to add more restrooms and tie to the city sewer. And I said to myself, well, zoning, when you start developing things like that, those requirements have to be done as part of the construction.
Yeah, and isn't it kind of interesting how easy it is to build something when the left wants to build something like a transient homeless shelter? But if you wanted to build something, if you had a small business or an addition to your home, by golly, the hoops you got to jump through in Missoula to make that happen, right?
Well, exactly. And of course, you know, at the time of construction, that $500,000 would have been a requirement at that time. And several years ago, it would have been cheaper. And so now they sneak it in later going, oh, we forgot to put restrooms in.
Well, that's what the city park water fountains are for. Come on, Greg. who needs a restroom when you got a water fountain to defecate into?
Oh, you know? Welcome to San Francisco. You know?
That's right. Gavin Newsom. That's why Gavin Newsom travels through Missoula so often. I thought it was because his in-laws lived in the Bitterroot, but now we know.
He feels it
home.
Missoula is such a zoo, you know.
It's Zoo Town. Zoo Town, baby. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you remind me. The last time we had Sandra Vasica on from the Missoula City Council, she was talking about how, you know, so many residents were against the reopening of this Johnson Street homeless shelter, and you know, the fact that they were putting it in this, you know, residential working class neighborhood. And I think one of our listeners at the time raised a really good question. Why aren't they putting that homeless shelter in the Rattlesnake or the University District where the liberal professors live? Why are they putting it in our neighborhood where our kids are trying to walk to school? Why don't they put it where the professors live? Thought that was a great question back at the time. Good question that still remains. Another great caller from Missoula. Susan in Missoula, stand by. We'll get to you right after the break. Phone lines are open 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Agriculture cyber attack claims are on the rise, according to Jim Pino Gallagher, Director of Food and Agribusiness Practice at M3 Insurance. Companies like Google and Amazon have recently been able to fight off large cyber attacks, but farmers and ranchers shouldn't feel that they are overlooked by cyber criminals.
What agribusinesses, what an individual farm, what an individual homeowner should be asking of their agent is, do we have coverage for a cyber attack? What does that coverage look like? But truly, if you want to have protection, you should look at a standalone cyber liability policy. They're very reasonably priced for the type of protection you get.
She says cyber attacks can be incredibly disruptive to your business.
It can take an enormous amount of time to figure out what happened, how to recover your files. Backups are a very important thing, whether you have an individual farm or you have a large agribusiness. Backing up your information is really important. Training is always important, training your employees on how to identify these malicious emails, the fake emails, the phishing emails. I would say even at the family level, talk to your kids about cyber protection.
And that also includes not opening or clicking on links that are sent to you from unknown sources on social media sites like Facebook. Just because there's a link, remember, you do not have to click it. I'm Lane Nordland.
Oh, This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so no joke, what I just did during the break there, I was trying to think, what should we talk about next? What do people all across Montana want to talk about? What do they want to hear about? That's why your phone calls and your messages are so important, because really, that's what makes the show. We want to know what you want to talk about. But there were several topics that I was thinking of covering. I don't know if you guys heard the soundbite from President Donald Trump in this town hall with Sean Hannity last night. He was asked, are you going to be a dictator? Are you going to seek retribution against your political enemies when you get reelected as president? And then his response was hilarious. And then there was a fiery back and forth between Ted Cruz and the FBI director. I wanted to share that soundbite with you. And then Riley Gaines, this incredible female college athlete swimmer who lost the championship trophy because a guy decided to identify as a woman and steal the trophy instead. She had a fiery back and forth with one member of Congress. So what I did, I whipped together my own little montage. Why talk about one of those stories when I can give you a sampling of all of them in one quick shot? So I whipped up a quick little montage showing kind of some of the highlights of all of those stories and something about our southern border. I'll play that for you here in just a second. But first, let's go right into the phone lines. Susan in Missoula, always great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
I, as a side note, I supported Sandra Fasica, and I was actually as stunned as she was that she got elected. And I'm surprised to hear she only is going to be there for 2 years. I guess that's a stipulation. If the city council picks somebody, they can only be in there for 2 years. Is that the deal?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I saw Peter's report on our Montana Talks website. Yeah, it must be kind of like when an appointee gets appointed to a position. But yeah, maybe then she can run again and win by a bigger margin the next go around.
And hopefully the people who didn't vote will vote this time. But anyway, the reason I am calling is that tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Day. It is the 82nd year since the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and none of us were alive then. I don't think anyone that was, maybe a few people are there, but they're in pretty bad shape. They're probably in their hundreds.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We've got some listeners who were alive then. I think our last Pearl Harbor survivor passed away here recently.
Correct.
I remember the governor was at his funeral.
But anyway,
yeah.
Pearl Harbor Day, and we are going to be doing a flag retirement ceremony with the Boy and Girl Scouts, as well as the American Legion and the VFW. At Rose Park, which is our big memorial park, and that is going to be on December 7th at 4 p.m. And a lot of people from Missoula listen to your show, and I want to get the word out to them that we need their help, because we have hundreds of flags to retire, and during the ceremony we read the history of Pearl Harbor and also famous speeches that were given throughout our American history as we present the flags to the fire marshal, who this year will be U.S. Army Colonel Gary Schwartz, and then the flags are lowered into a ceremonial flame. We do not burn the flags. We retire the flags.
That's right. Yeah, I'm glad you could. When I saw that you were on the phone lines and wanting to talk about the city council race in Missoula, I'm glad you also mentioned the Pearl Harbor Day event, because I was going to save that for tomorrow, but it's probably better that we mention that today so that you can get folks to help out starting tomorrow. Can I share your email address with our listeners if they want to reach out to you and coordinate?
You bet. It is Blue Mountain, all one word, lowercase, spelled out, bluemountain@montana.com. If they are willing to help us retire the flags, we encourage children, which is why we set it at 4 p.m., so that hopefully it is after school for most people. We've got boys and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts coming to help, but we also have the Knights of Columbus Patriotic Order. We have Civil Air Patrol, which is a group of high school kids. And we also have the American Legion and the VFW. We're going to do full military honors for the Pearl Harbor victims. There were, I did not realize the exact number, but there were in excess of 2,400 people that were killed that day on December 7th.
Yeah, 2,400 dead, 1,200 wounded, 18 ships and more than 300 American planes destroyed or damaged. I just pulled that up from the American Patriots Almanac that I keep here in our studios. You know, Susan, too, it's interesting because while you know, tomorrow is December 7th, a day that will live in infamy, you know, remembering the Pearl Harbor attacks. And then later this week, I believe, is when the Hanukkah celebrations kick off for our Jewish friends, because I'm supposed to catch up with Rabbi Chaim Bruck from the Bozeman Synagogue here in the next couple of days. But I'm just thinking, you know, Pearl Harbor, when I was a kid in the 80s, seemed like it was forever ago. Well, that was 40 years ago, you know, and it seemed like forever ago then. We realize today that Pearl Harbor, just like the 9/11 terror attacks, was not that long ago in all reality. And when you look at the October 7th Hamas terror attacks in Israel, I mean, you had infant babies that were slaughtered by these Hamas Palestinian terrorists, and you had 89-year-old Holocaust survivors that were kidnapped by these Hamas Holocaust terrorists.
Yep, and the thing that we have to remember, we must remember the tragedies of our history so that we do not forget what happened. We must not allow our Jewish friends to ever have what happened to them during the Holocaust. I am horrified at the number of protesters against Israel across Montana and across the country, and I'm utterly horrified by it. But the Pearl Harbor definitely changed the course of history. It propelled us into World War II. And just as September 11th, 2001 changed the course of history.
So that's right.
I hope people will show up and honor the civilians and the military that were killed almost instantaneously on that day, and also pay tribute to the symbol of our beautiful country, I think the most beautiful flag in the world. I think our flag is so lovely, and we need to show respect for it.
And it's supposed to be a beacon and a symbol of hope and freedom and in free markets all over the world, which is why people of every color, of every background, want to become Americans. Susan, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call. And yeah, you talk about never forget and studying history. I wish these people hoisting that Palestinian flag at the Christmas Lights Festival in Bozeman would study a little more history. I wish those 150 left-wing protesters at the Montana Capitol hoisting those Palestinian flags would not just study history, but study what's actually going on today. You're raising that flag after what was done to infant babies and women and children, women who were shot specifically in their private body parts by these Hamas terrorists. 75% of the people in the Gaza Strip support the Hamas terrorists, and you hoist that flag? Are you kidding me? And these people need to be held accountable for what they are doing, but they don't get held accountable. The media just shows up. Oh, yeah, there was a Palestinian protest at the Capitol today. La-di-da-di-da. Let me play that montage for you, then we'll get right back to your calls.
In terms of mental health, studies show that participating in youth sports is associated with lower rates of anxiety and depression, lower amounts of stress, higher self-esteem and confidence.
Women must stop. Inclusion cannot be prioritized over safety and fairness. And Ranking Member Lee, if my testimony makes me transphobic, then I believe your opening monologue makes you a misogynist. Thank you.
Because I understand, anytime you're asked about this, the answer is it's an ongoing investigation. Of course, the investigation isn't ongoing. You're not doing the work. You got whistleblowers pointing out that you're not doing the work, and you are hiding behind the skirts of the Attorney General.
The media has been focused on this and attacking you under no circumstances. You are promising America tonight. You would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Except
for? He's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
I want to close the border, and I want to drill. He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, other than day one. We're closing the border, and we're drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator.
When suddenly, illegal immigrants began rushing through the gap. Dozens of them taking advantage of the situation. Their human smuggler then looks at our camera, gives us a shrug, and a mocking salute.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the video of the mocking salute from the human smuggler on our southern border, you need to watch it. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was just rolling laughing when I heard that that Trump sound by President Trump when he was asked by Sean Hannity, you're not going to be a dictator. You're not going to seek retribution against your political enemies. And then Trump responds, well, just on day one. And he's like, well, how so? Hannity asks him, and he says, well, we're going to secure the border, and we're going to drill on day one. And then Hannity's like, okay, well, that's not retribution. And you could hear the crowd laughing in the background. Just a hysterical response, but spot on, frankly. And that's not retribution. That's just getting the job done for America, securing our border, drill. Now, of course, Joe Biden supports drill. He supports drilling in Iran. He freed up the sanctions against Iran. That's why they've got $60+ billion in oil money funding their attacks on U.S. troops in the Middle East right now. That's why Tehran has so much money to support all of these terrorist networks like Lebanese Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen that are firing missiles at U.S. ships and more. So he's allowed them to drill. When it comes to Venezuela, heck, is he going to do anything to stop Venezuela from stealing oil from their neighbor in Guyana? Because he's allowed Venezuela to drill. He freed up some sanctions against the socialist regime in Venezuela. And so again, he wants them to drill in Venezuela or to steal and drill from Guyana. He wants the Iranians to drill, but doesn't want our friends in Sydney, Montana, or Williston, North Dakota to drill. But it is kind of funny to see the hysterical reaction coming from the left-wing media mob. Trump will be a dictator. John Daniel Davidson with TheFederalist.com said the corporate media's Trump will be a dictator narrative is everywhere right now, and it is pure projection. And the reason why they are so afraid that Trump would be a dictator is because they are afraid that Trump will do to them what they have done to him. What's your thoughts? 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen next up on the phone lines. Frank, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, yesterday I stopped and dined in at Chick-fil-A.
Now rub it in.
I'm sorry, I just have to say that. But anyway, the... who came to the table but a robot. And then after I was finished, he came to pick up my garbage and to take right off. You know, maybe this is the solution for cleaning up the homeless camps. You know, I mean,
send Rosie the robot through the parks of Missoula to clean up the homeless campments. Now, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
It'd be cheaper than hiring these plainclothes officers and, you know, save on workman's comp and everything else.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because remember when the left wing in Missoula was really mad because they had security guards that were that were roving around one of the homeless encampments, and they had face masks on. They were wearing all black, and the left-wingers in Missoula really did not like the fact that they were wearing masks and they were wearing all black. And it's like, well, you guys have no problem with the Antifa activists burning down our cities and rioting and supporting the Palestinians. You have no problem with them wearing masks and wearing all black, but security guards wear a mask and all black, and now you're mad?
Yeah. Hey, you have a great day.
Hey, you too. Back to the robot. So, I had heard that. So we did an interview with the great folks at the Night Owl restaurant in Columbia Falls. They have one of these robots to assist the wait staff so they don't have to carry all the plates. Instead, the waitresses will take the order and everything like that. But then the robot will deliver the plates. So I had heard that Chick-fil-A had one of these deals in Kalispell because they get really busy at the Chick-fil-A in Kalispell. So you got to see it in person. What was it like?
Well, it was patient. And then after that was all finished, I was in a state of shock, and a real woman came to the table and asked if there was anything else that you could do for me. And I said, are you the latest, newest model of the humanoid version of a robot series? Or is your name Android?
Am I at Chick-fil-A or am I at Westworld? I don't know where I'm at right now. yeah, apparently that was a movie back in 1973. I had heard about this show more recently, but apparently it was an actual movie back in 1973. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think. I haven't seen so not only does the Night Owl have one of these Rosie the Robots, yeah, apparently the Chick-fil-A in Kalispell has one. I had heard the Billings Airport. Tim and Savage told me he saw one at the Billings Airport, the newly remodeled, redesigned airport. And then there's some others. I think a couple places in Bozeman have one at least. Yeah, but what about that idea, using these robots to clean the homeless encampments in Missoula? Yeah, they got to do something there, don't they? All right. Hey, thanks for the phone calls. Coming up Thursday, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Montana Stock Growers Annual Convention. They've already been moving the cars out to move the cattle equipment in, at least. I don't know if they're going to actually have any cattle downstairs. That'd be cool. They do that at the Gate Show in Glendive every year, and that's always a popular feature. But, yeah, great program coming up for you with Thursday's show and then Freedom Friday with our friend George Blackard.